Cambridge Muslim College, training the next generation of Muslim thinkers.
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitaba wa lam yaj'al lahu iwaja qayyima liyunzira ba'san shadidan min ladun wa yubashshira al-mu'minina alladhina ya'maluna as-salihati anna lahum ajran hasana makithina fihi abada وينذر الذين قالوا اتخذ الله ولدا ما لهم به من علم ولا لآبائهم كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا فلعلك باخع نفسك على آثارهم إن لم يؤمنوا بهذا الحديث أسفا لا إله إلا الله وحده له الملك وله الحمد وإليه المصير وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالحق بشيرًا ونذيرًا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز ومن يعصيهما فقد ضل ضلالًا بعيدًا اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا أما بعد فيا أيها الإخوة المؤمنون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم ذلك الدين القيم فلا تظلموا فيهن أنفسكم صدق الله العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, the number of months according to Allah is 12. When He created the heavens and the earth, and of them, four are sacred. That is the religion of uprightness. So do not wrong yourselves therein. One of the concerns of Allah's book is the rectification and the explication of the calendar. And in this noble verse, we're told or reminded that the calendar is not just a convenient way to divide our days, months, and years, but is something sacred. Humanity has always recognized that just as there are sacred places, there are sacred times. Mecca is not Cambridge. Medina is not Halifax. Muharram is not Dhul-Qa'dah, and Rabi' al-Thani is not Rabi' al-Awwal. We have this landscape, just as there is a spiritual topography of the world with highs and places that are not so high. So also there is a kind of topography of time, places with particular qualities. And here we remember the famous saying, Ala inna lillahi fi ayyami dahrikum lanafahat. Truly, Allah has in the days of your time exhalations. So be open to them. This idea of the nafha, this idea that there is a particular sanctity, a spirituality in certain places, literally a divine exhalation, is something that is the human experience generally. We are osmotic creatures. We reflect that which is around us. When we are in a masjid, we are different from when we are in Tesco's. Human beings are influenced by their environment. We are not just minds detached from everything else. The mind is linked to the body, and the body reacts very intimately to that which is around us. This is part of the privilege of faith. The unbeliever sees the whole world as being flat, you might say it. Unbelievers who think that the world is flat, they're the real flat earthers, because everything is equivalently secular. It's just matter. They're physicalists. But we believe that behind that matter, there are certain places of the manifestation of divine names, which, even though everything is a manifestation of the divine names, are more perceived by us than other places. And this is universal human experience. Some places are special, but sometimes also are special. So we find now that we've entered into one of the special times of year, the month of Rajab, which is a kind of intimation of Ramadan. Rajab has a special quality. Again, the good fortune of the believer that the months mean something. If you don't have these months, you just have January, February, March, April, and none of them mean anything at all. Originally they did. For a different ummah, January was named after the god of, you know, Janus, the gates, beginning of the new year. February was named after the god of undertakings. March named after Mars. So the Romans liked to fight wars, and Julius Caesar killed on the Ides of Mars, which was thought to be an auspicious event, a time for an assassination attempt, and so on. But that's ummatun qad khalat. To us, that means nothing at all. It's just January, February, March, April. It means nothing. It's flat. But when you move into a sacred calendar, the world feels different. There are peaks and there are lows. There is an experience of time which is richer than the experience of time known by the person who only looks at the surface of things. So we find that Muharram has a particular atmosphere which is not the atmosphere of Ramadan. And Ramadan has an atmosphere which is not the atmosphere of Shawwal. And the Rajab has a particular, and so on. The believer is enriched by this. And we need to be connected as much as we can to this calendar because it means something. And other calendars also, where they are persisted in, also mean something. The Jewish calendar, this weekend is Passover. They also have a rich sequence, cycles of events recalling their past, the ups and downs, the travails of their history, God's providence. That also is enriching in the Semitic traditions. It's one of the things the world lost when that was lost and the Christian churches decided to adopt the pagan Roman calendar. We're thinking about why they should have done that. Why not have a Christian calendar? But the trouble is, once they have detached themselves from the natural movements of the solar system, they get into all kinds of difficulties of calculation. And perhaps here we can see why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forbidding these practices that try to rectify perceived inconveniences in the movements of the sun, the moon, and the planets. It was Julius Caesar who got rid of the old Roman lunar calendar, which gave people a real sense of fixity in something they could see, the phases of the moon, and said for imperial convenience, everybody's going to follow what became the Julian calendar, which was when they invented the leap year, because it's kind of awkward, but the leap year isn't quite enough because there's 365 and a quarter and a little bit days in a lunar year. It's actually not a very good system, unlike the lunar system. Sometimes we argue about moon sightings, but it's still something fixed and more reliable. We don't have to bother with leap years. And the Julian calendar continues with these months that with Christianity meant nothing at all, but still they kept the names, which is again a strange thing. Until in the 16th century or 17th century, Pope Gregory the 13th decided there was going to be the Gregorian calendar, and then Europe traded up to the Gregorian calendar. But still, the Christians of the Eastern churches, they have their own calendars, so they are in a state of ikhtilaf. In Russia, Christmas is on the 6th of January, and in 124 years' time, it'll be on the 7th of January. It's untidy. Incidentally, there's one part of England that never traded up to this, or Scotland. The Shetland island of Fowler never heard about the calendar reform. To this day, on the island of Fowler, in case you ever find yourself there, a few people living there, Christmas is on the 6th of January. It's inconvenient. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying things about our relatedness to the natural world. Ancient man perceived certain elemental realities about himself and is deeply conformed, even in his physiology, to those things. The rising and the setting of the sun, the circadian rhythms. Ask any medic what effect that has on the human metabolism, melatonin and all of the rest. It's fundamental. The movements of the moon also seem to have an effect, although the academics argue about it, but there is a certain lunar cyclicity to the human metabolism, which is probably something deep, which is important. And with Islam, we see the new moon, and something begins that probably operates on a very ancient and timeless and natural way that we don't understand, that perhaps the scientists will never understand. But if we're torn away from that, and this is the symbolic sin of Western civilization, torn away from that and just given January, February, March that aren't related to the obvious phases of the moon, we are missing something and losing something. And to put in an extra day every year, or to put in an extra month so that you can have 12 months but an extra 10-day month, is something that the Qur'an condemns. إِنَّمَا النَّسِيءُ زِيَادَةٌ فِي الْكُفْرِ. Strong language. The intercalatory month, the extra month, is an increase in unbelief. يُضَلُّ بِهِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. By which those who don't believe are led astray. يُحِلُّونَهُ عَامًا وَيُحَرِّمُونَهُ عَامًا لِيُوَاطِئُوا عِدَّةَ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ فَيُحِلُّوا مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ. Sometimes when we read these verses, we think, well, why is there so much divine anger here? Sometimes it's the same when you see those curses heaped upon those who take and give riba, and then when you actually see the consequences of interest-based debt, you see the reason for the divine anger. But what is this anger about adding an extra month, just tampering with the calendar? What is that all about? النسيء زيادة في الكفر. The intercalatory month, an increase in unbelief, by which those who don't believe are led astray. They allow it one year, the next year they don't, so that it can combine or it can correspond with that which God has forbidden. It's not 13, it's 12. So that they make forbidden something that Allah has permitted, or they make permissible something that Allah has forbidden. In other words, the Qur'an is here telling us that we need to be rooted in some fundamental natural things. That the moon is not kind of inconveniently timed, but there is a deep wisdom about following the forms of the moon, just as there is a deep wisdom about getting up when it gets light and going to sleep when it gets dark. The metabolism is arranged to coincide with that. So these are signs. The solar system is made up of signs, and the proportion of the planets, the golden mean, if you look that up and see the proportion of the distances between the planets and the geometrical forms that fit within them, it's a wonder. And this is set up so that we can derive our times and our calendar. الشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ بِحُسْبَانِ. We know this great sequence in Surah Ar-Rahman. الشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ بِحُسْبَانِ وَالنَّجْمُ وَالشَّجَرُ يَسْجُدَانِ. Those things are put together. The sun and the moon are for reckoning, or are in reckoned or calculated precise paths, ways, numbers. And the stars and the trees prostrate. Those two things go together. And as the calendar, the moon, the sun, is there so that we can divide up the paradox and miracle of time. And then the stars and the trees prostrate. In other words, everything is lahu qanitun. Everything submits to him. والأرض وضعها للأنام فيها فاكهة والنخل ذات الأكمام والحب ذو العصف والريحان. And all of these wonderful intimations of the divine presence in nature. فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. So which is it of the blessings of your Lord that you're going to deny? That's the kind of punchline, that's the takeaway from this sequence of verses, which begins with this husban and the need for the mizan, for the balance. Human beings are to be in a state of balance with themselves, within themselves, with each other, with the natural world, which includes the cosmic world. This is all part of the serenity which paganism could not deliver, and which secularity certainly cannot deliver, but which religion offers in a way that has nothing to do with shamanism, paganism, all of those things that are supposedly now experiencing a revival, but is to do with the absolute uncompromising truth of monotheism, which is that part of your submission to God is to recognize that everything is in submission to God, kullu lahu qanitun, and to be part of that cosmic symphony. And this is why the Muslim life is determined by the movements of the moon and by the movements of the sun, the five daily prayers, and this is something timeless and gives us a sense of fixity. Calendars come and go. The atomic clock might mean that we need an extra day in 300 years' time. Who knows? It's just human calculation. Ziyadatun fil kufr. But the sun and the moon, they're in their fixed paths. No amount of human perverse re-engineering of the perfection of God's creation is going to affect the sun and the moon. That's beyond our power. So part of our submission to God is our submission to the division of time that is indicated by these celestial bodies, which are themselves praising him and in a state of submission to him. This is part of the deep meaning of Islam. Don't fiddle with that. Don't say the sun should be a little bit faster and the moon should... No, accept it. There is a deep wisdom in this. So this is the time of the year when we experience the blessings of the month of Rajab. There are four holy months, and the Holy Prophet tells us that there are three that come together and one which is on its own. Thalathun Sard or Shahrun Far, the three that go together, Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, Muharram, and also Rajab, which is not surrounded by sacred months. So sometimes we call it Rajab al-Fard, Rajab the unique, the solitary, the lonely, or sometimes Rajab al-Asam. All the names have lots of names. All the months have lots of names in Arabic. It's part of the beauty of it. You don't hear adjectives given to October, for instance. There's no richness there. But in these months, so much of our memory and our recollections, and it actually means something. So in the month of Rajab, we know this is when Imam Ali, karramallahu wajha, is said to have been born. In India, you'll know it's the Urs of Mu'ayyaduddin Chishti, the Isra' wal Mi'raj, and so forth. There are high points in this month, which is itself a high point, and the believer responds to that and is renewed, because it is through passing through moments of sacred time that we, our enthusiasm and our spirituality are re-energized. This is why we have these recurrent reminders. This is why we pray five times a day rather than one big prayer on Sunday. We need constant, recurrent reminders because we're forgetful. So all of this is part of Allah's mercy. How much would we think about the Isra and the Mi'raj unless there was a time when we were invited to think about it? How much would we think about the Laylatul Qadr unless there was a particular time, or we're not quite given the time, and the month of Ramadan? This is all to help us to remember those great moments in sacred history and so on. People crave this, and even in the secular world, usually in some newspaper, there's something that says, on this day, Admiral Lord Nelson died, or something like that. And you think, well, great. Whatever the date was, okay. It doesn't really mean anything. It doesn't impact on ourselves. None of those things on this day actually affects us. It's just kind of a fun fact. But all of the events in sacred time affect us. We do things to commemorate those times, which, because they represent divine interventions, are something that impact upon us directly and immediately. So Rajab is a time when, amongst its other blessings, and most of this is beneath the tip of the iceberg, anything to do with why a holy place is holy, why a holy time is holy, is to do with Allah's knowledge. What exactly is the quality of the holiness of the Haram? Difficult to put into words, but we know it's there. There's things on the surface, but most of it is experienced just through a kind of tasting or personal experience, very subjective, emotional, affective, but real. So it is also in the times. What is the atmosphere of Rajab? What is it getting us into the zone of? Well, Dihliz Ramadan is the atrium of Ramadan, pointing us towards the time when our lives will be turned upside down more than anything else does, and we start to reconfigure ourselves and concern ourselves a little bit less with dunya, because, hey, what's the point? The shops might as well be open, but we're going to walk past them. A lot of things are closed and the shayateen are locked up. A real reconfiguration and a divine gift lifts us up, as we all know, towards the end of the month, that takes us into a new space. Rajab is kind of reminding us that the fun months are coming to an end, and now we're facing that time of austerity. But it has other qualities as well. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, one of the great scholars of Islam, has a book about it. We all know Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, maybe the greatest hadith scholar ever after the early great days. Asqalan is in Palestine, but he spent most of his time in Egypt teaching at the Dar al-Hadith al-Kamiliyya, Khanaqah, Baybars, the great mega professor of the time, the one who was so impressive when he was still an adolescent, but when he was staying in the city of Mecca, the guest of Al-Bulqini, one of his great teachers, and the house, all of the houses in Mecca used to have names. It was such a sacred place that every stone and every alleyway and every corner had some connection, some memory to do with the time of the seerah. We were staying in the Bayt al-Aynat, which had a view onto the Hajj al-Aswad, what that must have been like. And he was such a great scholar, he led the Taraweeh in Mecca that year at the age of 12. And when he returned to Egypt, married a great Hadith scholar, and his life is definitely an inspiration. And he produces the greatest ever commentary on Hadiths, Fath al-Bari Sharh Sahih al-Bukhari, which we all have to know about. The greatest commentary ever on a collection of hadith. This enormous thing, gigantic, and the whole Islamic world was waiting with bated breath for the next volume, just as nowadays we're waiting for the next episode of Ertugrul or something. Ah, is it on yet? They were waiting for the latest volume of Ibn Hajar's Fath al-Bari, and each volume would be sent by special courier to rulers around the Muslim world and to scholars. It was a big, big deal in those days. So the Fath al-Bari, Balugh al-Maram, the Shafi'i text, Ad-Durar al-Kamina fi A'yan al-Mi'ati Thamina, the great history book about people of the age immediately before himself, an enormous ocean of productivity. But he also produces a little book on Rajab, which he calls Tabyin al-Ajab fi ma warada fi fadli Rajab. It's about amazing things to do with the month of Rajab. And actually, as a hadith scholar, he is concerned honestly to inspect some of the traditions which have grown up around this month. And not to say that they're forbidden or that they're harmful, but just to say this isn't actually warranted in the Quran or the hadith. So a lot of people believe in the Umrah of Rajab. A lot of people believe in special fasting in Rajab. He goes through all of the hadith and he says, by all means, do an Umrah in this month. By all means, fast in this month. But to single out Rajab specifically for that, rather than just because it's a sacred month, is not actually warranted. So do your Umrah then. Fast then, but because it's a sacred month. And he comes up with all kinds of other amazing circumstances. And it's a reminder of how just a month would trigger such richness in the human soul. Nobody nowadays would write a book about the wonders of November, certainly not in Cambridge, maybe May, but not November. It's just flat, it's secular, it's meaningless, it's just a word. But with this richness of our calendar, and we really need to start getting back to this, not just because it gives us this topography of time, but also more profoundly because, and this is the raison d'etre of our being here for these few days, helps us to reconnect to that nowadays poor, neglected, unfortunate thing, Mother Nature. She's a kind of victim of a lot of domestic violence now, I think. Northern white rhino died last week or something. She's really being maltreated by an ungrateful humanity. But the beauty of the seerah is that it takes us back to the beauty of membership of the world and to what we call the fitrah, the Isra and the Mi'raj, which we're coming to remember. We know that almost at the culminating moment of that unimaginable vertical journey, he is offered the wine and the milk. And he chooses the milk, and the angel tells him, Hudita lil fitrah. You've been guided to fitra, nature, the primordial disposition of human beings. There's all kinds of symbolism in that, and people have written whole books about what that could mean. Milk. Why milk? Isn't that what kids like? Milk. But this is said to be because milk comes from the purity of the natural world without mediation, whereas wine is from the natural world, but it's been fermented. There's been a process of corruption. Human beings think they know best and try and turn it into something better than what it naturally is. And the consequences of that are, of course, any tour of the streets of Cambridge on a Saturday night will explain what it does to the nobility of human beings and how it drags us down. So there's a wisdom and there's a lesson in this. So at these times, we should try and reconnect with our calendar. It's a shame when all of this richness passes us by and we don't know what happened when, and we don't remember the reasons why those things happened then. why should we abandon such a beautiful thing and just stick with January, February, March, April, always the same, always flat and meaningless? Let's try and get back to the operation of our months. Even though they haven't been official in the Islamic world, Egypt abandoned it in the 19th century. The Ottomans abandoned the Islamic calendar in, I think it was during the First World War, and it's kind of just been replaced by this very strange, flat, pagan thing. So let's try and get back to that. But as we move through the month of Rajab, inshallah, let's try and orient ourselves once again towards the ground of all of this richness, the source of all of these gifts, the one whose names alone constitute time and space, and hope that we might perhaps be lifted up to a state where our hearts can perceive properly and can see not just configurations of matter and spinning atoms and interesting planets and eclipses, but can see the divine agency and see not the effect, but the cause. Looking at things the same way, but not in the same way. And through an awareness of the sanctity of space and an awareness of the sanctity of time, we can start to see things more properly. We can start to see beyond the meaningless surface of things and to start to see the geometry and the depth and the ocean of beauty that lies beneath. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a good Rajab and help us to prepare our hearts and our minds for Ramadan, inshallah. Barakallahu fikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. ولي المتقين نكال الظالمين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله الملك الحق المبين محمد رسول الله صادق الوعد الأمين أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله فإنه خير الزاد وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور فكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار واعلموا أن الله قد أمركم بأمر عظيم أمركم بالصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين فقال جل ثناؤه إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار يا عالم السر منا لا تهتك الستر عنا وعافنا واعف عنا وكلنا حيث كنا يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أمتنا على دين الإسلام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أمتنا على دين الإسلام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أمتنا على دين الإسلام ووفق اللهم ولاة أمور المسلمين إلى العمل بكتاب الله وسنة خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة.
Cambridge Muslim College, training the next generation of Muslim thinkers.